This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, July 2nd, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning. Johnny Cakes Allville's here.
Hello, everybody.
And look who's back. It's Bish.
Hey, JP. How you doing?
He's back.
Hey, Cakes and Bick.
What's up?
Have you rested and recuperated?
Yeah, I'm very
recharged.
Rested. Yeah, I'd say yes. Slept in a lot. A lot of naps.
How was Cakes the trip back? /Medhurst/Baldhead Island?
It was fine. It's just the Carolina beaches are so nice because they're not as crowded as the Maryland beach, you know, Ocean City, which is what I'm used to.
Well, and that's a private island too.
Yeah, and it's
no cigarette butts all over the place.
Nope.
No, and Matt Valdez is all over the place.
Now the only problem is it's 8 hours away, which is, you know, we leave yesterday at 9:45, and it takes 8 hours to get home. So that's just that's a chore in itself. But it's nice. Baldhead Island's great. I recommend it. Eric's been there. It's been years, but it's changed a little bit. Got a great golf course. The houses are unbelievable. It's quiet. If you want a nice quiet week on the beach, it's a nice spot.
I'm jealous. I am jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a good spot. I think you'd like it.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a spot still for Christmas time, but don't even get me started.
Still doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Still on that bit?
Some of the houses on this island, I just don't know where the money comes from.
Right.
Oh, and then now you know what you're going to make me do. You're going to make me go on Zillow and look at all the sillies on Baldhead Island.
Yeah, I don't even know where the money comes from
big houses.
Some of the houses in Laytonsville, Maryland. Yeah. It doesn't matter where you go.
Well, yeah, but these are second homes, bro.
Yeah.
Right. These people are not living in them full time.
These are second homes. But just imagine what the primaries look like.
Those houses are probably so dumb that people probably don't even rent them out. They're probably just, you know what?
Some of them they don't.
We don't need that. We don't need the paltry rent income. We're just going to leave it there.
Oh, you know who just bought a house there?
Down.
You know, just bought a house there. These John Harbaugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice vacation spot for him.
Bill Cowher owned a house down there for years, but he sold it apparently in the last couple of years. But John Harbaugh was talking to one of the guys that worked at the marina, and he said, "Yeah, John Harbaugh's. He bought a house there. I don't know which one it was, but I couldn't find it."
I just pulled one up for $11 million. It can be yours.
Oh,
I bought that island.
Oh, that's the Whale House.
5 beds, 6 baths, 5,500 square feet.
I don't even know who owns that. It's always empty, apparently. But it was nice.
How's the water? Nice and warm?
Nice and warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, any jellyfish?
No jellies. Some crabbies. Definitely some crabbies.
Any shark sightings?
Nope.
That's good.
Any horseshoe crabs?
I didn't see any horseshoe crabs.
Girls all had a good time. No golf cart incidents.
No. Nope.
Nothing of that nature.
Everything was all on the up and up.
Good. Were you off the grid, or were you paying attention to what was going on in the world?
Oh, you know, I was watching a lot of World Cup, watching golf. Had the computer up and running.
LeBron, you know, watch.
I didn't. When did that come down? Last night, about 8, 9 o'clock,
something like that.
Yeah, I was already night.
Seismic shift. Eastern Conference wide open.
But no one's real surprised about that, right? I mean, we
not really seemed expected.
The talk for the past year was him going to the Lakers.
Yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic. It's just that who's going to join him? Maybe this year is going to be a punt year.
This year might be one of those. Yeah, he plays with all those young guys. Although he brought Stevenson and JaVale in.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he waits a year for Kawhi.
Yeah, I guess. Who knows? I mean, I agree with JP. I think the Sixers would have been more intriguing. Mm-hmm. But he apparently wasn't really that intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. The idea of being there in L.A., I think all the business opportunities.
Yeah.
Play for an iconic franchise like that.
His kid's going to play with Scottie Pippen's kid and Kenyon Martin's kid.
That's quite an all-star group.
Yeah. So So he signs the 4-year deal. I mean, it's 3 plus 1, but the fourth year is his. If he wants it, so his kid can go to school for 4 years there without moving.
So over in the Eastern Conference, all the Eastern Conference teams are fist pumping now because they feel like it's wide
especially
open for them.
Boston and Philly.
Boston looks good. Philly, I mean, Toronto, you assume they'll still be decent.
Cakes, we always said the Wizards just needed LeBron either to retire or go to the West.
Right.
And you got one of those.
Well, I think the Wizards are
way
down the list at this point.
They're not,
sadly.
They're not the Celtics. But, I don't think
it does give Eastern Conference teams hope now to at least get to the finals and lose. Now you can get to the finals and lose to whatever team comes out of the West.
Yeah.
Whether it's the Warriors, Lakers, Rockets, whoever.
Well, maybe Austin Rivers puts them over the top.
I just can't believe the Rockets gave a broken down CP3 $160 million over 4 years. That blows my mind, but it's what you have to do in the current day NBA to compete.
Yeah, if you want to stay competitive, you're right. Because he'll miss his share of games.
Absolutely.
You know, you were away when the Austin Rivers move happened. I think the Austin Rivers move is a play for it's a setup for another move. Now, I don't know what it's going to be because it doesn't make any sense. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I think that's a setup for another move. They got to get a big man in here of some ilk.
I didn't see him play a lot, obviously, because he was playing out in L.A., but he apparently had a pretty good year.
No, he put up solid numbers, but it just doesn't really make sense with this team, the roster, the way it's currently constructed.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a piece that they're going to move, or at least that allows them to move another piece. We'll see. We'll see. The Wizards are so uninteresting right now.
Correct.
I mean,
there's just nothing happening.
But if you look at the Western Conference now with LeBron there, and I saw Mike Wilbon say this, I think everybody's just assuming that the Lakers aren't going to compete. They've got LeBron. LeBron's been to 8 straight finals. He finds a way. I think they will compete. I'm not saying they're a favorite. Golden State will be the favorite, and Houston will be a favorite over them. But LeBron's that good.
He makes it
interesting. That he makes every team that he's on competitive.
It might be a Final Four Western Conference team.
Caldwell Pope as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do have some young pieces who they could still move and make trades, and who knows what else they add. But I don't think it was lock it up. They're a team that's going to be in the finals like when he moved to the Miami Heat with Bosch.
No, but they'll be in the playoffs, someplace the Lakers haven't been in the last five seasons.
Here's the thing now about the NBA. Eastern Conference is the minor leagues. It's not even close to the Western Conference. You look at all the MVPs in recent years, including LeBron, Russell Westbrook, KD, Steph. When's the last time the Eastern Conference had an MVP that's still in the Eastern Conference?
No idea.
You even go down some of the other players who have jumped from the East to the West in the last couple of years, like Paul George, who remains in the West. All the top players are in the Western Conference. All of them.
Yeah, with the exception of a few that are on, you know, the Celtics and the Sixers.
And Greek Freak.
And the Greek Freak. But
I made a list last night. I would say you could argue that the top 10 players in the league are in the West. Now I would probably put 2 guys from the Eastern Conference in there. But you could easily make an argument that the top 10 players are in the Western Conference.
Yeah, well, like with the Lakers, you wonder what those conversations between LeBron's people and Magic were in terms of what they're going to try and put together. Like Eric said, you know, this year might be more difficult because Kawhi is still under contract, but maybe you wait a year and then he joins next year. I had read that LeBron's not a big fan of Lonzo Ball's dad, so I don't know what that means for Lonzo.
Well, who is? Who's a big fan of
Well, Eric and JP. But
genius. He makes me laugh.
But I don't know. I don't know what the future is for guys like that. I mean, Lonzo Ball has a little bit of a knee issue. Does he want to play there? I don't know. I mean, then you've got...
I mean, there's a new point guard in town. His name's LeBron.
Correct.
So you're second fiddle now.
And then the Lance Stevenson thing is interesting because, you know, they always kind of butted heads when he was with Indiana. But apparently he respects him.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's a
defensive. Well, he knows he's going to make deep playoff runs with LeBron on his team. So, of course, why wouldn't you?
Right. But what I'm saying is LeBron must respect Lance Stevenson.
Yep.
Because there's no way he's joining them if he doesn't like Stevenson.
Definitely.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them.
It's crazy how quickly that free agency, like the dominoes, start to fall. Because I guess when free agency opened up, and I guess it was fait accompli, but Paul George was at a party with Russell Westbrook. And right after midnight, he announced that he was staying. And then Chris Paul quickly signed. And then some of these lesser guys are signing for ridiculous amounts of money.
I'm not.
Aaron Gordon signed an $84 million deal.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon. Well, I thought the Wizards should have made a play for him. He's a decent stretch four. He can dunk. He's been in the dunk contest a couple times. $84 million for 4 years.
He can dunk.
Well.
Is that why you signed him? Because he can dunk?
How would you describe Aaron Gordon's game?
Just
one of the first things you pick
up. I would say athletic freak. But, you know, with Paul George, I think we thought that Paul George might join the Lakers. He's from L.A. and maybe join LeBron out there. But a lot of these guys just signed for the money.
Make in Oklahoma City? 4 years, $137 million?
Yeah,
is that the number?
He could sign for more there than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I heard Brian Windhorst saying that, you know, he's a guy, the ESPN insider, that's been like LeBron's guy, apparently, you know, for like the last decade or so. And even he said it's interesting that LeBron's like sort of drawing power may not be what it once was. That guys are, for whatever reason, they're passing on the opportunity to necessarily play with LeBron.
Like KD?
Well, like Paul George.
Yeah.
Like KD. So who knows? I mean, people keep throwing out their KD. Oh, KD will be a free agent next year. I don't see it. Why would he ever leave Golden State? We're in the middle of you know, a dynasty run that could go unmatched. Why would he leave that? That just seems silly. They're still set up to win another three or four if they can stay healthy, keep everybody together.
Well, if you look at Paul George, I mean, I don't know what he was making in his last deal, but in his next four, he's going to make 31, 33, 35, and 38 million.
He's almost approaching John Wall Supermax type money.
Yeah.
Kicks in next season.
So, I mean, I get it. I mean, he's not going to win a championship there, probably, as long as the Warriors stay together. Now it makes it more difficult with LeBron being out there, but he's going to get paid.
But the Eastern Conference will be wide open. Yes, the Celtics will be the clear favorites. They played well this year, and they did that in the playoffs without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. But after that, wide open. Feel bad for Dwayne Casey? Because he got fired from the Raptors, even though he won Coach of the Year, because he couldn't get over the Cleveland Cavaliers' LeBron James hump. Well, that's gone.
Yeah, well, bring him back.
He had the best record in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, now he's got to deal with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. But you know what? That team might be in the Eastern Conference Finals, because the Eastern Conference is so bad.
Did DeAndre Jordan
sign?
Well,
let's be honest. The Celtics are the Sixers.
Did he sign with Dallas?
Yes,
he did.
A one-year deal.
Somebody was saying it would be a great troll move by Cuban to then to not sign him. Tell him sure, and then let him opt out of his deal, and then whore him like he did him.
Just let him waver
a couple of years ago.
But we don't know how good the Celtics can be, because we didn't see Hayward play with these guys. And then Kyrie got hurt, obviously, towards the end of the year and missed the playoffs. But if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals minimum, if not the NBA Finals, either they got hurt again or something seriously is wrong chemistry-wise with them. They are clearly the cream of the crop in the East.
Seems like it to me. I just know I'll rarely see LeBron play. When he plays an Eastern Conference team,
weekends.
I might watch a little. Eh. I doubt I'll stay up late.
You mentioned the Brian Windhorst deal. So Brian Windhorst, I think, has been connected with LeBron since high school.
Yeah.
That was the deal. It was like from that area, and then became kind of famous on ESPN when LeBron made the decision to leave from Cleveland to Miami. Here's what he said about Paul George opting not to follow LeBron to L.A.
You'd want to take a two-year deal, because if he took a two-year deal, Rach, he could get to 10 years service time,
mm-hmm.
and then come back on the market and get a big raise. Taking a three-year deal, this is basically him giving a giant hug to Oklahoma City. I am so stunned. I am as stunned by this contract as I was stunned that the Thunder. In fact, I almost will tell you. I'm going to tell you that this is a bigger accomplishment for the Thunder than trading for him, because he didn't have control over the trade.
Right.
He had control over what his contract was, and to agree with this contract, he obviously agreed to it several days ago.
Right.
But he had a long time to think about this.
His pay, by the way, goes from $19 million to $30 million.
I'm not that stunned. I don't know why Brian Windhorst
why is
stunned.
Stunning?
Because he
I'm
says that
stunned.
He left $220 million on the table from Indiana.
Gave him a discount.
To give the option to go to the Lakers, and he didn't even give them a meeting, and he took less to go to the Thunder to stay in Oklahoma City.
You mean before he got traded?
Before he got traded.
Okay,
he wanted out so bad.
Okay,
he just hate Indiana. He just didn't want to be in Indiana long term.
But I'm not stunned that he actually signed this particular deal.
No.
because his player option is the fourth year of the deal. It's a 3-year deal plus a player option. His player option pays him $38 million. Now he's had injuries, right? And by that player option, he'll be 32 years old. He may just figure, you know what, my body might be breaking down,
yeah,
and I'll have a fourth year at $38 million.
We just can't relate to the money these guys are making, because all of us would play in Siberia for like a tenth of the money that these guys are making.
Mm-hmm. But I'm stunned
leaving it on the table
because Paul George chose Russell Westbrook. Like, if you could play alongside LeBron James, who is the best player in the world, great passer, get your team to the finals every year, or play with Russell Westbrook, who a lot of people think dominates the ball, takes bad shots, makes bad decisions, doesn't get to the NBA finals, who are you going to pick?
Well,
you pick Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but could he have signed this deal with the Lakers? I don't think he could have.
He might have been able to before they agreed to Kentavious Pope or whatever the guy's name is. Yeah. He could have before the Pope deal.
I'd have to check that. I don't know if he could have, because
the Pope deal took them out of the running.
Everything I read said that he could sign for more with Oklahoma City than any other team.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me he didn't just choose Westbrook. He chose the biggest contract.
All right, phone number you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We'll talk to Chris Miller a little bit later about the Wizards. Of course, covers the Wizards for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us at 8. Where do the Wizards now line up in the Eastern Conference? And Andrew Sharp, NBA writer for SI.com, will join us at 9 right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Less than 2 weeks away from our summer dress party. Saturday, July 14th. Whitlow's on Wilson. We hope you can join us. Starts at 4 p.m. Whitlow's on Wilson, where it's good times, good friends. Get more details now at thefandc.com/summer. A lot went down this weekend. Let's open up the Junkie Sports page.
Biggest news, of course, LeBron signing a 4-year, $153 million deal with the Lakers. Didn't wait. Got that thing done on July 1st, first day of free agency.
That's great. That means when the Lakers come and play here at Capital One Arena, there'll be 10,000 people wearing LeBron jerseys.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait.
And they also signed Lance Stephenson to a 1-year deal, about $4.5 million. They also signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Re-signed him for 1 year, $12 million, and they signed JaVale McGee. So they added some parts.
I'll give JaVale McGee credit for a guy that was a total and complete knucklehead when he was here with the Wizards. He's had a pretty long and productive NBA career. I'll give him a little bit of credit.
I can block shots and he can finish.
I didn't think he would still be in the NBA at this point. I really didn't. I thought teams would be like, you know what? We're tired of your act. You're a bit of an idiot. Yeah. We don't want to deal with you. But look, he's had a pretty good career.
He got better. Yeah.
He's an NBA champion.
He is. Got a ring.
Good breakdown of LeBron's decision in Sports Illustrated, where I guess he had a root canal right after the NBA Finals. And he had a private chef and just kind of was by himself for a few days recovering from the root canal. And then in the next 2 weeks, he told his agent, Rich Paul, and his team to look at the NBA and the teams and to kind of study them. And he instructed them to focus on the Rockets, 76ers, Lakers, and Cavs as to what would be his best situation. And then in the last week or so, he talked to Kobe. He met with Magic, mm-hmm, and it became the Lakers. He didn't want to go on and on, and he didn't care. Like, Magic apparently told him, look, we don't have Paul George in tow. We don't have Kawhi Leonard in tow. And he said, don't worry, I believe in your team, that you guys are good recruiters,
mm-hmm,
and I believe in the salary cap space you have. It's not a rush. This is where I'm going.
Hmm.
Well, I think, too, it takes a little pressure off him. Think about the pressure. He's in the finals every year. The pressure that he has to win it. Like now there's, it's as you guys love to say, a free roll for LeBron.
Kind
if he of. Does anything.
Well, because expectations are somewhat low. But he's also expected to just elevate whatever team he's
I'm
on.
I'm a little stunned he went to the West. I thought he would take the path of least resistance and sign with maybe the Sixers or another Eastern Conference team to avoid the Rockets and the Warriors on the way to the NBA
but
Finals.
You know why? This wasn't a basketball-related decision, really.
This could be lifestyle.
This is a lifestyle
family.
Business decision.
Yeah.
And this is how he's gonna end his career. I'm not going to say he's going to end it in 4 years, but, you know, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's what he does. He gives teams 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now you got, if you kind of just look at the Lakers' depth chart, we talked about Lonzo Ball. Isaiah Thomas is a free agent, I believe, so he probably won't be back.
No,
I don't think there was the greatest of chemistry between those two when they were in Cleveland.
Yeah, he won't be back. And then they signed Pope. They've signed Stevenson. They've got Brandon Ingram, who started coming to his own a little bit.
Kuzma's still there. They've got some young
pieces. Kyle Kuzma, yeah. And who's their center? Do they have Lopez?
I think one of the Lopez is there. I'll have to double check.
They got JaVale, so, and then of course LeBron. They got Julius Randle. They got a nice little mix there.
You could see them rising up to
of course any team that LeBron's on is just going to be better.
You could see them rising to third in the Western Conference. Look, the Rockets were 65-17 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Cakes was wondering why Chris Paul gets a $160 million deal with the Rockets in 4 years. He's broken down, but when he plays alongside James Harden with Clint Capella, who's a free agent. They were unbelievable this year. They're up 3-2 on Golden State.
Yeah.
Golden State, of course, is the number two team. Then you have teams like Portland, OKC with Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and Melo, by the way. Utah, team on the rise with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. New Orleans with Anthony Davis. Then you dropped San Antonio, finished seventh in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Without Kawhi Leonard. Minnesota finished eighth. Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler. That's a team on the rise. Denver didn't make the playoffs. They've got Nikola Jokic, who's really good, and other supporting players. That Western Conference is loaded. I went through and just was like going through hopefully the top five players by position in the league. Almost all of them are in the West.
Mm-hmm.
You can make an argument for here or there an Eastern Conference player being in the top five, like Giannis, Greek Freak, certainly. If you wanted to make an argument, or John Wall lover, these in top five point guards. I'll tell you what, Steph, Westbrook, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, who was first team all NBA this year, they're all ahead of whoever you want to put, Kyrie, John Wall, Kyle Lowry. It's like a second division. It's not even close.
I'm not sure I put Chris Paul ahead of Kyrie.
Okay, fine. I mean, you can make an argument. But you can do that at every position. Top small forwards in the league. LeBron, KD. You want to put Greek Freak? Okay, fine. But then you go Paul George, Jimmy Butler.
But how many of those teams in the West have a legitimate chance of winning a ring?
Well, now probably only two.
Just two, right.
Houston and Golden State.
And like Cakes pointed out, Chris Paul signs a four-year, $160 million deal. 4 years for $160. For a guy who's been breaking down physically the last couple of years.
But he's the same age as LeBron, right? Maybe 2 years older. I could see him playing productively for another 2 or 3 years.
He's 33.
The fourth year.
Okay, so they're about the same.
I'd feel a little shaky about, but.
Yeah, well, he gets it. Paul George signs a four-year, $137 million deal with Oklahoma City. You mentioned Jokic for Nikola Jokic for Denver. Signs a five-year, $148 million deal.
I think, was he making like $1.3 million last year? I'll have to look at his numbers.
Was
he got a massive.
Wow.
That's a pretty good raise. Take a pay raise like that. And I like that.
And then KD signed the 2-year extension with Golden State for $62 million.
Hmm.
So these big superstars didn't wait very long to sign. They didn't wait until July 3rd or 4th. They went right at it July 1st.
And with no fanfare, too, especially LeBron. No TV show, no article on a website.
That's the best way to do it.
Apparently he's flying to Europe, or he's probably there, and he just told his agent, announced that I'm going to the Lakers.
Right. Yeah, get it over with.
Jokic, by the way, last year made $1.4 million, and next year he's going to make $25.4 million.
That's sick.
Can you imagine your pay stubs looking at the difference between the two?
No, that's amazing.
Now the
pay stubs. I'm sure he gets some paper stubs. You kidding?
Right, like I do.
Right.
Now the big question is, what happens with Kawhi Leonard? You know, what do the Spurs do there? Does he take the money if they offer him this huge max, or do they trade him, or does he just play it out and then, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent the following year? Who
Reports
knows?
Reports are Greg Popovich doesn't want to trade him to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I saw
he wants
that
to keep him.
They were negotiating maybe with the Sixers, and they wanted a minimum of 3 first-round picks as part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 players.
Right.
2 players and 3 future first-rounders.
It's going to be interesting to see what and maybe DeMarcus Cousins, maybe he's an option for the Lakers.
Sixers said there are 3 untouchables, Simmons, Embiid, and Fultz. If I were in that negotiation, I'd be like, you know what, Fultz might be available. After 1 year, I mean, the first year was a disaster.
But didn't the Sixers say he was off the table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if Cakes were in the room, I might be like, you know what, maybe you could have Fultz. Maybe we can work something here. Maybe we'll make this thing work.
All right, World Cup, fellas. We've got a couple more games today. We've got a 10 o'clock game, and we've got a 2 p.m. game.
Who's playing now?
Well, your 2 o'clock game is Belgium and Japan. The 10 a.m. game, I believe, is Brazil and Mexico.
All right,
so you got a couple games today. Of course, yesterday you had a couple of teams advanced. You had Russia beat Spain on penalty kicks, and you had Croatia beat Denmark on PK.
You know what? Spain had the ball the entire game. I think they had 700 more passes, something absurd like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they had a critical handball
and there was
in
no
the penalty
reason
box.
For me to root for Russia. I wasn't. I was rooting for Spain. But at some point, I shifted over to Russia because it was annoying to me that Spain, at one point, Dylan and I were counting the number of passes. And they had like 40-some passes without Russia touching the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't go anywhere. They went like 20 yards. It was just side to side. And I was like, you know what? They deserve to lose.
Yeah. I felt the PKs, man. It's just so brutal.
Some of the saves that these guys were making were unbelievable.
You got to let them play until guys are basically falling over on the field and somebody just scores a goal. Penalty kicks, absurd way to end soccer games, especially
problem is the guys
on this
just,
stage.
The extra time is pretty boring. They're dead. They're just kind of kicking around. They were just waiting for PKs.
Right. And Spain, they showed the stats at one point. So they had, 500 more passes, 600 more passes. They had like 3 shots on goal. This sucks.
It was butt boring.
Well, how big of an upset is that, Russia over Spain?
I think they said it was the biggest upset in World Cup history in the knockout round.
In the knockout, right.
Yeah, but those because Russia was ranked 70th in the FIFA rankings.
But isn't Russia better than 70?
Wait, yeah, so much better. I mean, because the rankings are dumb.
Yeah, because look at how they've played. I mean, they played great in this tournament.
They barely had the ball. I literally I watched the whole game. And when Russia would have the ball, they'd have it for about 7 to 8 seconds on average. And then Spain would have the ball again and do nothing with it.
Yeah, well, Russia must be pretty good
defensively. I just feel bad for the guys. We were watching it at my in-laws, and we just kind of turned the volume up when it got into the PKs because that's when it suddenly gets interesting. And I just feel bad for the guys that missed the PKs because that's you're never going to forget. You're never going to live that down. Now, the guy that missed it last probably going to be more of a goat than the guy that missed the first one. But still, as soon as he misses it, he pulls his shirt up over his head. He just wants to run and hide. The whole world just watched you miss.
Yeah.
You know,
but
you
if the goalie
make
makes a great save, there's not much you can do. I mean,
well,
some of those
happened
goals
on the last one.
I mean, these guys are flailing and just barely touching it with their foot.
Yeah.
The guys who go up the middle, to me, that is the ballsiest play ever.
Yeah.
They're guessing that the goalie is going to die.
Well, you know the goal.
And that the middle is not going to be covered.
Yeah, but the goalies generally pick one side and go for it.
But it seemed like their approaches now are like dicier than ever.
Yeah,
guys are like really
moves.
Hesitating. They're really slowing down to wait for the goalie to commit. I mean, they're damn near coming to a stop.
Well, that Russian donk, he didn't hesitate. He went full bore at it and buried it, I think, in the right upper corner.
Yeah.
By the way, Spain had 2 guys that to me looked like they were 50 years old, and I looked it up.
One was the bald donk. I know that
the bald
donk
who retired immediately after. He said that was it.
Right.
He's done. He's only 33 or 34.
Didn't Spain, as the Euros love to say, sack their coach immediately after the loss?
And then
isn't that the guy who replaced the other coach that they didn't they fire too?
Yes. Anyway, they have another guy. I think his name's Diego Costa.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Who's 29. He's 29. He has a beard.
He looks 100.
He looks 100.
I'm with you on
that. And by
him.
The way, he's Brazilian. There's so many teams that have these Brazilian players. Like, I think Russia had one defense.
United States, recruit some Brazilian players. Yeah. Maybe we'll make the next World
Hell,
Cup.
Hell, recruit some Russians.
Recruit anybody you want and give them a U.S. passport. Now, throw them out on the pitch.
Did you already get paid for your wins from last week?
I got paid over the weekend by Valdez. Yes.
Did you leave a little bit in the kitty so you could bet with it?
No, I took it all out.
Oh, you did?
It's all gone. Because you know what? I went on a cold streak at the end. I lost like 3 or 4 bets. And I said, this is finished. I'm out of the World Cup.
Did you even know, did you hear about Brett's run at the World Series?
I saw that he finished 20th or something.
20th, yeah. Made like 13K.
In a 3K buy-in event.
3K buy-in.
Yeah, he sent me a text.
You know what he did afterwards, though?
What?
He entered the six max for 5K and went out with the quickness.
I thought he left without entering.
No.
I didn't get the update.
No, he texted.
Oh!
And I said to him before, God bless him. This shows you how well he's doing over at Subdogs. Yeah. He didn't care about 5K.
I can't help myself.
I said, dude, that six max game is going to be super aggro. There's no hiding. Like, you got to play poker in that one. That is, like, super aggressive.
You can't just wait for Kings.
Your game's
exposed. You can't sit there.
What was that buy-in?
5K.
So he won 13. All right, so he walked with it.
$5,000.
Yeah, but then he played.
Plus taxes.
The taxes and everything.
Taxes.
Came back pretty much even or up a little bit.
Sorry, Jenny.
But, you know, for him, it was just fun. It just shows you he didn't care.
Yeah, was that in Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah. At the Rio.
Yeah. It just shows you he does not
care.
He went for it.
Well, you know, that's what happens in gambling.
Of course.
You don't usually end up.
You got to have
that's this. Like, Cakes' World Cup, he's starting to bleed.
Unless you have the discipline.
I looked at it, I'm bleeding everywhere. I called Valdez and I said, liquidate it. Just ship the chips before I bleed out anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Unless you have the discipline to walk when you're up.
Well, usually I don't, but this time I did.
Most people say it's house money, let's go for it.
That's going to hurt me not to dabble with the games today. But
so here are your matchups.
That's the way it is.
Brazil's minus 205 to win. Mexico's plus 620 to win. All right, so significant underdog to Brazil. And then the 2 o'clock, Belgium's minus 270 to win. Japan's plus 915 to win.
Belgium, the heavy, heavy fave.
Which one? What time is the Brazil-Mexico game?
That's the first game.
It's the early game.
10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
The 10 o'clock one just catches us when we're, like, driving home. So good.
You won't stay here and watch the whole thing.
No chance.
But I need Belgium to win because I got Belgium and Sweden in the pool.
Yeah.
Do we have an updated standings list on that, Awad?
He sent it on Friday. I think you were in the mix and John was in the mix.
Nah, man. I'm officially done now because I'm down to England. I need England to win the World Cup.
I think Valdez and I are winning. You're right behind us waiting for a Belgium victory.
Okay, I had Argentina. Belgium. They're a big flaming disaster. They go out.
But you know, Valdez, if Switzerland wins, Valdez has three teams, correct, in the final
I thought
eight?
I did have three teams already. I'd have Uruguay, Colombia, Switzerland.
Well, Switzerland has to beat Sweden and then they'll advance.
Okay.
So right now, yes, you do have three left.
It kind of sucks, though, that Messi and Ronaldo are out. Lost on Saturday.
I agree. I like the star power. I like to see the big sillies.
At least those games didn't have penalty kicks, because both yesterday did.
So what are we down to now? How many teams are left currently right now? Like 12 or something?
12, exactly.
12?
Yeah.
Who's winning the pool, did you mention?
Valdez and I right now.
Yeah.
But if Belgium win, Lurch takes the lead.
Yeah.
EB, you're right behind them, though.
But am I wounded? Did I lose?
No.
Who do I have left?
Yeah, you lost Portugal, but you won with Croatia. So you're sticking to Croatia.
Need Croatia.
They look kind of nubs yesterday for a team that was hyped up.
All right, why don't we take a break? We still have...
we're going to talk about Tiger.
We're going to talk about Tiger and the
Quicken
Loans. We're going to talk about some of the moves that the Caps have made.
Why are you talking about Tiger when Molinari won?
Well, we'll talk about
Molinari deserves some props.
We'll talk about the Nats, who lost 3 or 4 to the Phillies.
Speaking of bleeding.
Yeah.
The Nats
and now
bleeding.
Find themselves 6 games back of the Braves and East. We'll touch on all that when we come back.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8, Chris Miller, Wizards insider for NBC Sports Washington, will join us and tell us what LeBron's move to L.A. means for the Washington Wizards. Means the East is wide open, and that's what it means.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, there are a couple favorites. Boston is a clear favorite.
Yeah.
And then Toronto's right there. But the rest of them...
I would take Boston over any of those other teams now, if they're healthy. Especially after what they did last year with those young kids. All right, so it was Tiger Week at Quicken Loans over there at Avenel. By the way, the course looked amazing. Got to credit Jeff Montrose and the Super and everyone who had that thing looking top-notch. That looked like a great golf course. Wasn't as difficult this year as it was last year.
Greens are a little softer.
Yeah, last year the Kyle Stanley won at 7-under, and it was kind of like a little mini U.S. Open the way that it was playing. It was playing very difficult last year. Didn't have as many guys finish under par. I believe the cut last year was 5-over. This year it was 1-over, and Molinari shot 62 yesterday and finished 21-under. By the way, that's the first Italian to win on the PGA Tour in 70 years.
And they showed a clip of the guy who had won before, and I mean, it looked like something from like the 1890s.
Right.
It was so long ago.
It was 1947.
Yeah. Well, I've been to Italy four times, I think.
Yeah.
I'm about to go again in July. I've never seen a golf course. Now I go up to the north in the mountains. I don't think it's big in Italy.
By the way, JP claims never not to be like a silver spoon guy. Fourth trip to Italy. I mean, come on.
Where were my parents born?
The writing is on the wall. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's because you choose not to go.
Yeah, but
I grew up across the street from you, Cakes.
When is your Italian trip?
All I'm pointing out is all the trips to Europe. Zero over here. I believe zero right here.
I've got
and
one.
Jason, you have one under your belt?
That was Spain.
Hmm. Yeah, and that was because you got a hook job. Full-on hook job.
Well, I mean, I got airfare.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full-on.
Span Air, pour some out for them tonight. No longer with
us. Are they no longer with us?
I don't believe so.
I was still paying for everything else.
Right.
But that helped.
But it was a great week for Molinari, who spurned the French Open event over on the European Tour to play in this one. He made almost $1.3 million yesterday.
First win on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, guy's been around. I think I heard he hit 62 of 72 greens.
That's incredible.
The guy's just a fairway machine, fairway and green machine.
Yeah, I was going to say he was hitting
And thanks for
just
doing
as many
it when
fairways.
I didn't pick you in the golf pool. I'm sure that when I picked him, because I've burned him already, he probably missed the cut. But here he wins the whole blick.
Molinari said that last year he was watching the tournament on television, and he said the course looked so good, he said he wanted to play it.
Really? Yeah.
Looked like it suited his game.
Yeah.
But the guy that everybody was watching, everybody cared about, really was Tiger. It was a weak field. It was really Tiger, Ricky Fowler, and everybody else. Yeah. I mean, Bo Hostler is going to be a great player, but you know he's still an up-and-comer. He's still only 23 years old. For the most part, it was the Tiger Woods tournament. And Tiger basically didn't disappoint. He had another top five finish. That's his third one this season. $312,000 he earned. Shot 66 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And frankly, he left about seven or eight shots out there the last three or four days.
He missed a three-footer. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I actually watched like an hour and 20 minutes.
Nice.
And the reason I was watching, because Tiger's in the field.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be watching.
Remarkable.
And he was in contention for
a
while.
There was no one out there on Thursday. By Friday, the crowds picked up. I know Valdez was there on Saturday.
How hot was it when you were out there, Valdez?
Oh, super hot. But I got hooked, and I was in a cabana next to a P1.
I like the
with silly misters, so it wasn't that bad.
Nice. I saw the misters on TV. They looked delectable.
Valdez's whole life is just to try to live like a rich person.
Well,
he did.
But
what are misters? I'm not familiar with that term.
They're just blowing the mist on you.
Misters. Yeah.
They have like a phoenix.
Yeah, you need them.
But
definitely needed them.
The heat index was like 105.
That's incredible.
It's absurd.
For those guys to just keep their focus and heat like that.
Yeah. Well, Tiger was drenched.
I followed Tiger for a hole, and it is a circus.
I mean, Tiger's wearing an undershirt on Sunday. I
noticed that.
It is a poop show out there.
Yeah, and the thing that's amazing is behind him, like Molinari was playing several holes where literally zero people were watching. He was leading the tournament by four or five shots, and there wasn't a soul. Like he was playing
by himself.
Yeah, by himself. It was unbelievable.
And he was like 4-under through three holes.
Yeah, no one's paying
on the back
because no one cares. He doesn't have the star power.
And Jason, you should have seen it. So I was on 17. Yeah. All right, and Tiger comes through and huge circus. Mm-hmm. And then you would have thought a bomb went off at Avenel.
Were you on the 17 tee box or on the green?
I was on the side. I was closer to the tee box.
Okay.
And so he comes through, hits a shot, then everyone scatters like roaches when you turn the light on.
Yeah.
And then the leaders are coming through on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're coming through and there's not a soul watching them.
Yeah.
Everyone cleared out except for me and RP.
I wonder if Molinari would rather play behind him. Well, obviously you would because that means you're ahead of him in the standings, you really
don't get a sense of how awful it is to play with Tiger unless you're following him.
Yeah.
So that donk with the safari hat, Joel Damon.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Yeah.
So this guy's grinding it out.
And he actually played pretty well.
Yeah, and he has five, like a 5-foot putt All right, that's probably worth $50,000 in prize money to him.
And
then you have these idiots that are just running all over the place,
right,
clapping, going crazy, yelling, and this guy's grinding over a putt that could pay for his kid's braces.
That guy Damon, by the way, was involved in an incident on Sunday. Did you see that? Where that group played through because he had a beef with his playing partner, Kang, and later on Twitter, he flat out said Kang cheated.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
He said Kang cheated because it was a classic dispute about where the ball went in. Did it cross the hazard or not?
It was a golf beef?
He said he weighed 25 minutes. He fought with Kang for 25 minutes and said it didn't cross the hazard. He said it did. He
did
dropped
they have
it closer.
The rules official out there and everything?
He said he lost the argument. Kang dropped it where he thought.
Wow.
And it went on. And he just flat out accused him of cheating.
And Kang ended up finishing third.
Yep.
Solo third and won like 480
men.
Yeah.
480,000, I mean.
But props to the Bronson Burgoon, by the way, who played with Tiger yesterday.
Right. Terrible last name. Burgoon.
Right. But he shot 67 in that circus.
He did great.
Finishing top six.
He did great. But again, it's all about Tiger. Tiger didn't win. That would have been a good week to win.
I know this. They didn't show, while I was watching, they didn't show one shot from Bronson the Goon.
They did early.
Not a single one
They did when he went birdie to start.
Okay, I missed that because when I was watching, zippy shots of him. But so many of Tiger.
I'll tell you what, that course, it's not an easy course. It's a very difficult course. Now, these guys made it look easy, but that number 11, the par 4, number 11 on the back, was the toughest hole on the PGA Tour last year. It played to a 4.5. All right, so a half stroke over par. And I mean, it was kicking their butts all weekend long. It really was. It kicked Tiger's butt.
There's certain holes.
I think he had at least two bogeys on that hole.
I mean, I watched almost every shot Tiger hit. There's certain holes that just don't suit his eye because he would just repeatedly make the same mistake. And then with the same club on a different hole, hit it perfect. He's so close. He's got all the shots. He just has to put it together. I mean, that's basically a mediocre week for him, and it's a T4.
That's the thing. I mean, think about his score. I mean, that would have been a four-stroke win last year.
Yeah. Nobody was going to catch Molinari shooting 62 on Sunday, but he should have. He honestly should have finished second with all the shots he squandered.
Well, you know, if he finished second, he would have qualified for Firestone.
Right.
No, I think he needs second, and he needs a top 25 at Carnoustie. But maybe you're right. That what I heard was a second and a top 25 at Carnoustie. But
don't other guys squander shots too, though?
They do. He squanders a lot. I mean, he really is hitting the ball.
Well, especially on the back nine.
You just watch him play. You see, he's got such great control of his iron play. He's just making one or two mistakes off the tee per round that are coming back to haunt him. And he's never been perfect off the tee. But he's going to tighten it up. It's inevitable. I don't think he's going to win this year because he's not going to play enough events. He's going to play a couple majors, and then he'll play a couple FedEx.
But think about it.
But
think about how well he played. I mean, he played pretty well.
He played pretty well, and he squandered a ton.
But look at the guys who finished ahead of him. Molinari, all right, he's a veteran. He's 35 years old, but he's never won on tour here.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Armour and Sung Kang.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the tour is just so deep.
Yeah.
But it's not like Ricky CH3.
The tour was deep like this 5 years ago when he won like five times.
Yeah, but I think the tour is deeper.
Yeah, I don't think the quality of the players around him is going to prevent him from winning. He just needs to tighten up a little bit more. He's still only 12 tournaments in, a comeback, you know, 3 years off tour. So if you're a Tiger fan, you're encouraged. If you're a Tiger hater, you can just say, oh, you know, he's never going to win.
And he makes the weekends interesting.
He totally does.
You know, so he's got, like you said, he's got the three top five. Now, he's judged by what he does in the majors. He missed the cut at the Open and finished outside the top 30 at the Masters. But he's if he's playing in the last three or four groups on a Saturday or Sunday, yes.
You mean Abraham Answer doesn't bring casual eyeballs?
No, those
table?
Guys are so boring. Yeah. And they're great, but they're just boring. They don't have the same charisma. It's
he might
just
be the only
close.
Guy from Mexico named Abraham. Valdez, check that for me, please.
Well, he's from Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, there's a
well,
big,
he's from
there's
Mexico.
A big Mexican flag next
no,
to
no,
his
he,
name.
He went to Oklahoma. He was born in Mexico. But he went to University
the
of Oklahoma.
The sad part is, and we touched on it last week, you know, we had Bears Verluga and other people. The sad thing is that DC Golf is gone. Like, there's going to be no PGA Tour event here for the indefinite future. I'm sure eventually it'll come back. Some way, and we'll have majors and stuff, and we'll have the, you know, RTJ will host the occasional Ryder Cup or President's Cup, but it is a shame. We're not going to have our our annual PGA Tour event for the first time in 40 years.
Weasels way into a cabana.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
And D.C. should have an event.
We should.
Based on, maybe it could be a different part of the year because it does get so brutally hot here in June, July. But there's so many
I'll
nice courses.
I'll take any week. Yeah. Any week.
Valdez, I was listening to PGA Tour radio yesterday. I think it was Mark Lai. He was doing the pregame before their coverage started.
Uh-huh.
And he started talking about how nice the course is and how nice it looked and all the nice courses in the D.C. area. And he said, you've got Avenel and you've got Congressional. You've got Columbia Country Club. And then he said, there's also a course, I think it's called Burning Bush. Mm. I wanted to reach through the radio and strangle him.
Hey, that's pretty good, though. He mentioned it. That's pretty good.
But this is Mark Lai. Mark Lai should know it's not Burning Bush.
He can't know every course in every town.
I mean, come on now.
Who's Mark Lai?
He's just a former player.
That's a bigger question. If who's that the golf
key. I guarantee you.
I give credit.
The
got
members
half
of Burning Tree are probably saying that, too.
I got half of it.
It's embarrassing.
All right, got to take a break. You want to chime in or anything on the Hadid Carb Clean Lister lines? 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.